Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk Live.
Bill and Chris Tenney-Britton here today to talk about the first of a two-part series about fighting in church, because that never happens. Actually, to be honest, we had a discussion, we might call a fight, creating this particular series. And so, it's a two-parter instead of a one-parter.
Yes,
anyway,
it is.
Okay, so this session, by consensus, is what to do when, or actually before, a fight breaks out. So this is the groundwork for next week, because next week we'll talk about what happens when a fight does break out. But this is these are the steps to get ready for that inevitability.
Well, or to help ward it off or make it less of a huge deal, because without these particular steps in place, if you will, when you get to the push and the shove in that real fight, it's going to be a lot larger than it is. You want some groundwork. You want some pieces that you can hold on to for dear life. I'm thinking about on a carousel and the horse is going up and down, and you need to be able to hold on for dear life, have your little feet in those stirrups so that you can ride it through.
Well, and the reality is everyone needs to recognize that conflict in church or anywhere else is absolutely normal. And the thought of trying to eliminate conflict completely is ludicrous. It will not happen. When someone likes strawberry, someone likes chocolate ice cream, you have a conflict.
Sure, and it's not healthy to try and move past that without paying attention. We'll say more about that.
Right.
We've said lots about that over the time, but we really do need to jump into this. There are two things that we want to lay as groundwork. We've kind of hinted at that. The first is that ignoring or whitewashing conflict will always bite you in the future.
My pastor once said that deal with the speck on the horizon before it's a brick in the face.
Oh, that's
you
good.
It's really, yeah,
well,
I like it.
Yeah, and I say this a lot, and I found myself, I've seen the season, I call it the season of full moons right now, lots of conflict going on in churches, and I've been saying repeatedly, you know, it's like this dragon that goes down, and then it waits, and then it comes up, and it's even larger. And in one case, I've watched this happen now for 6 years, it's gone on a whole lot larger. And the vision I have is this huge Chinese dragon in a parade who's spouting fire, and everything everywhere is just a burning. And I told that group, they said, what do you do? And I said, quite honestly, I don't know. It's pretty big.
You should have dealt with it when
exactly,
it was a speck on the horizon.
I wish you had listened. So here's your chance to hear and listen.
Don't ignore it. And you know, we're conflict averse.
Yes.
And especially as pastors, we want everything to be okay. Hey, it's not going to be okay. Get over it. Deal with conflict immediately.
And then it'll be okay.
Right, exactly. It'll be a whole lot more okay than if you wait.
Right.
All right.
Okay, so and there are some steps.
Right, and that's point
number
two. Remember, there are steps you can take.
And that's what we're going to talk about.
All right,
okay,
so
here we go.
Jump in. Okay, your initial steps.
Okay, well, the first step is really look at the places where conflict tends to break out in your church.
Or
now, it may not just be breakout. Well, start with the places.
Okay,
start with the places, because we're going to talk in a moment about scapegoating, right? But you want to look at the places. And, you know, choirs are scapegoated a lot. It's not always the choir. And there are lots of awesome people and even some of the nastiest of choirs. But is it a class? Is it one of your committees that ends up at a board meeting, wah, 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 or a vestry meeting, whatever that structure is for you? So you want to look at that. Those what I call the after church lunch buddies. Remember pastoring a church and all these people were talking stuff and they came in with a pastor review and they said, oh my gosh, we've heard this and that. I said, let me guess. And they're like, we can't tell you who those people are. It's anonymous. Well, that's a bad deal to begin with.
No complaints then.
After we got back that, I said, okay, will you at least tell me, are these the people? And they looked. I said, yeah, they're the lunch buddies. Of course it is. So you want to look at where all of that is coming through.
All right, now I want to talk about the people, and I just want to deflect something you said about scapegoating. It is true, we don't want to scapegoat people.
Right.
You never want to scapegoat people.
Right.
On the other hand, I will point out that the scapegoat's the only one of the two that lives. But anyway, moving along, the reality is here, folks, is that there are individuals in most churches that are the ringleaders, the center of the major conflicts of the church.
Right.
And sometimes, often, always, those people need to have a come to Jesus meeting, if you will, or maybe just come to Jesus and get the issues dealt with. And so we want to talk about four different, if you will, types, paradigms, archetypes of people. And the first is someone who's a controller.
Right. Well, the controllers are the ones who want control. And they refuse to let go. They're willing to manipulate. Oh, my. Will they manipulate to keep that control? And so because of that, they're really closely related to these other three.
But they may not be because of the manipulation, so they're more back behind the scenes often.
That's true, okay? Yeah. Okay, so the second is?
Is the bully.
Right.
The bully is someone who almost always has a pedigree. They've been in the church for a long time, or else they've managed to become an important person in the church.
And they'll let you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
When they start talking their pedigree, you know you have a bully on your hands.
Oh, mercy, yes.
A bully is someone who says, they get in your face, hey, you're not going to do that. My granddad, da-da-da-da-da.
We're rolling in his grave.
And they bully people around. Bullies are one of the more common, and many churches have them, more common manifestations of people who are out of control.
Right. Well, then you get the terrorists. And the terrorists are the ones who believe they have power, and they make threats that take the church hostage. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you don't do this, then I'm going to do that. If you do that, then I'm going to leave. It's always about leaving, or I'm going to keep my money. I'm not going to do that. And we have ways to address that. And that's not in this episode. And that's one of the pieces that we work with in our coaching, is how to address those kind of threats. But just know that when you start to hear that you are you're dealing with a terrorist kind of person. And I want to add to that there's some peace treaty out there that says that we will not negotiate with hostages. And
negotiate with terrorists.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yes, I got it.
About the hostages. Right. Do not be hostage.
do not be taken hostage. Okay, no. The last one is gorillas. And we're not talking about the kind that you know, I could say hang in trees, but those are monkeys. Anyway, not jungle gorillas, okay, or graybacks. We're talking about gorillas like guerrilla warfare.
Yeah, okay. So a gorilla is one of those, every time I see this, I just think about, and really, in a way, that's what a gorilla does. A gorilla waits for something to happen, and it could be very small. Again, church with whom I was working not too long ago, a staff member left, a secretary left, and you would think, okay, that's not a big deal. But it took away the attention. Right, cause some attention, some focus over here for the leadership, and this person could take any anxiety that she could find and just stirred it up, and then was able to force this issue over here while leadership was in no way prepared to address that at that moment.
They're sort of magicians, or a sleight of hand, or misdirection.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But,
yeah.
But gorillas.
But they take take opportunity. Really,
right.
It's not that they're necessarily causing over here, but they're just watching it.
All right. Now, just back to your scapegoating.
Sure.
Don't scapegoat these people.
No.
You know, the reality is not everything is Bob's fault or Matilda's fault. On the other hand, don't work around we have to be nice, because nice isn't a Christian value. It's kind is, but the word nice is nowhere in the Bible. We have to say, be like Jesus and say, here's the line, etc. But that's next week. So we'll talk about that.
Right. And one of the kindest things we can do to people is to call them on their stuff, right? Because that's not how they're
Christian behavior.
And some of them, I have found, they're waiting for you to call them on their stuff.
They dare you to.
Those are true.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's move right through to what to do in getting prepared besides identifying. First, you need to develop a congregational expected behaviors, or a covenant of conduct, or membership covenant, discipleship, whatever you want to call it. Churches call it all sorts of different things. But it's essentially a covenant that says, this is how we will treat one another.
Right.
One another being the people of the church. And we have an episode on this. You can also find it on our CPR Conflict Prevention and Reconciliation DVD set that walks you through the reconciling process.
I have a workbook that follows you through on that, the Flip My Church workbook.
So there's lots of resources there. So we'll just touch on that. You need to develop congregational expected behaviors, because then you have a line and say, this is how we will behave. And then you're able to say, That's not okay.
Right. Well, and then you want to develop and have your congregation adopt its values, mission, and vision. And those of you that are regular viewers, we know that you're probably really tired of hearing that, but it is the groundwork. We cannot tell you the difference between the congregations that have those and the congregations that do not. And when it comes to conflict, you've got to get this in place. It's what you're able to hold on to. And you want to keep that continually in front of the congregation. Write it on your newsletters, your bulletins, your websites. Talk about it every single week.
You know, there's one thing about having values and vision and mission. It's another thing where they become the core. And,
right.
And what you're saying, putting in writing, but also adapting your ministries and everything you do around, is this going to further our mission? Is this going to further our vision? Are we acting within our values? When they're that important, then the whole congregation has a different ethos,
right,
and conflict is more easily dealt with.
Right, exactly. And not just, I mentioned printed materials, but be creative. Weave it into your offering statements, everything that you do. Get it in there. All right. Then we need to find some ways to gently remind, not scold people when they're acting in ways that aren't in line with the behaviors.
And we, you know, Matthew 18, 15 to 17,
yes,
really deals with
there.
That, you know, and that is go one-on-one and say, listen, you know, what happened there was, you know, there's some feelings that got hurt and whatnot. You don't have to do this.
Right.
And if you're using you language, you know you have a
right.
problem. So, I
want to give a quick example, just really quick example, and that is there was a Sunday school class not too long ago where there was a difference of theological opinion, and one of those came from guests who varied very differently than one of the people, a woman in that class, and the woman offended the couple, and they walked out in the middle of the class, and there was a realization that couple's theology really wasn't part of that church's theology, and they would end up leaving, but it didn't change the fact that woman had acted outside of those behaviors. And so leadership said, you know, we need to go talk to her and have her call the couple and let them know. And people said, oh, it wouldn't make any difference, but it does make difference.
Right.
It's not that we were scolding that person, but we were helping them to make that right, to try and bring some resolution there that, yes, indeed, will hopefully help them think about that more, but it was even as much a teaching opportunity for the rest of the class.
All right, moving on. Do whatever you need to do to raise your congregation's self-esteem.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And your personal self-esteem.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
If you're going
right.
to be a leader, how many ministers do we know and how many leaders and congregations we know whose self-esteem is about this big?
Right.
And you can't even begin to step up if your self-esteem isn't in a place. And so you have to be prepared within your spirit and your core to be able to stand up rather than retreat from situations when there's conflict or it's promised, it's inevitable, or even if you're fearing it, if your self-esteem isn't in place, you're going to totally shirk back and not deal with it.
And when the congregation's self-esteem is okay, then they will support
right.
someone who stands up and says, this isn't okay.
Right.
All
yep,
right.
exactly. All right. And I think the reason I put the onus on the leader is because we can get that self-help. And when we're in that place, we can be helping our leaders and congregations.
Right.
Okay. Well, we also need to learn ourselves and teach our parishioners, our leaders, how to speak the truth in love. In the best book I have found, I should get royalties on these, is Speaking the Truth in Love, How to Be an Assertive Christian. It's Ruth Koch and Kenneth Hauck, one of my favorites. It's one of the Stephen Ministry required readings. So Speaking the Truth in Love, and this will help you identify why you don't speak the truth in love and give you tools for how to speak the truth
in
love.
Well, and as you say, the title of that book, part of that is assertive, and we need to be assertive rather than aggressive, and we need to learn how to be assertive rather than aggressive, and how to be responsive rather than reactionary, because we do that all the time. Something happens, we don't take the 10 breaths or whatever it is, and we react. And when we react, we almost always react in less than appropriate or at least less than effective ways. So before conflict happens, get yourself ready. Look at how you can be responsive. Learn how you can be assertive. practice those skills before it happens so that when it happens, you can step up.
Well, and here's the other help book, and that is Antagonists in the Church, How to Identify and Deal with Destructive Conflict. People don't like the labeling of antagonists. I wish that that wasn't the title, but it is. That began to change my ministry now over 15 years
people
ago.
People don't like the titles Bullies and Terrorists, but we still
have
them.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
We are out of time.
We are so out of time.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.